And it's God's purpose of His purpose and of His grace is a topic that's much disputed in the religious world. We studied last week on total depravity and free will, and this kind of goes along with those. The total depravity of man and the free will of man are topics that are also controversial, and so is God's grace. Many in the religious world don't understand it. Like I said before, there are those that read from the same Bible we read from, the King James Version. They're not reading from one of the modern versions. They're reading from the same one we do, and they still don't get it. They read the same verses. You hear them quote the same verses, and they distort them and take them out of context and make them say what they're not supposed to say. And basically deny the gift of grace that God gives us. They deny the truth in that doctrine. And it goes back to the two just before this. It's all because of man's total depravity and because of their belief in a free will for man as far as salvation is concerned. So, let's read our article and then we'll look at the scripture. It says, we believe that the elective purpose of God, according to which He predestinates, calls, regenerates, sanctifies, saves, and glorifies sinners, is eternal, personal, and unconditional. That it is the most glorious display of His sovereign goodness, being infinitely wise and holy and unchangeable. That it comprehends all the means in connection with the end. That it utterly excludes boasting, promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, and the active imitation of His free mercy, that it is perfectly consistent with the free agency of man, that it is to be ascertained by its effects in all who truly believe the gospel, that to ascertain it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves utmost diligence. Our first scripture is going to be in Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29, and this is talking about He predestinates. We know He predestinates. He says here in our article, says we believe that the elective purpose of God, according to which He predestinates. Romans 8:29 says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. We know that God is predestined everything that's happened and everything that's going to happen, all the way through all eternity. If you want to get down to it, it's not just what happens here on earth, but God knows what's going to happen from now on. He's created all of it. And there are those who claim God has just set things in motion and walked off and left it and turns a blind eye to all certain things and things just happen as they will, in other words. Well, that's a doctrine that goes along with man's free will, and that's not true. Everything that happens for a reason. The good, the bad, all of it happens for a reason. And for in God's reason, not ours. It may be to benefit us. It may be to not benefit us. It may be his chastisement on us. It may be for those that are not his. It may be his wrath. Whatever it is, he has predestined it, and it is going to happen, and it's going to happen for his glory. He's going to get the glory out of it. We've read the story of Noah and the flood, and all the people, not just the people, but all the animals, that all the land animals, anyway, were killed because of the flood. And God chose 8 people to bring through that flood. He did it for a reason. If he hadn't have chose those 8 people, if God, and God, it mentions that that the whole world at that time was wicked. But it also says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord too. And it was that God, and of course, like I said, God predestinated that too. He knew Noah was going to be the one that he was going to use, and his family. There are other stories all through the scripture. We see in the Old Testament things that are predicted that don't come into play until the New Testament. Some of it doesn't come into play until the tribulation, and even after that. But God tells us in His Word that He's predestinated it to happen. Romans 38 or 8:30, talking about according to which He predestinates, calls is next. So Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. So God predestinated, speaking of salvation, God predestinated who was going to be saved. He chose them. He elected them. It says, them He also called. He calls those who He is going to save. And whom He called, them He also justified. In other words, when He calls a person, He's going to save them. He's going to justify them by the blood of Christ. And it says, them He also glorified. So they're going to, those who He has predestinated and called, they're going to be saved. There's no doubt. If the Lord hasn't called you, you're not going to be saved. It's that simple. That's part of His election. If He's called you, if He's Holy Spirit has come to you and has convicted you of your sins, it may not happen right that moment, but when the time comes, you're going to answer. He's going to put that in you. The next one is regenerates. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He regenerates us. He gives us new life. He says, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. this regeneration that he gives us, which is when we're his elect, when he's chosen us. We're chosen before the foundations of the earth. We know that. The scripture tells us that we're chosen. And when he comes to us and he calls us to himself and then regenerates us, he gives us life, spiritual life. Remember, our spiritual life went away. It died with Adam. For a man to be regenerated, he has to be one of God's elect first, and then the Holy Spirit has to come to him and call him. And then the Lord regenerates him. Sanctifies is the next one. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we're washed in the blood of Christ. Scripture makes that clear. It's just such were some of you. It's not everybody, just some of us. He's speaking here of this list. If you go back in the next, the few verses before that, he's speaking of all these sins that he lists here. And these people in Corinth, he's telling them some of you were into this stuff. Some of, you know, he mentions, idolaters and fornicators, adulterers, effeminate. He's talking about homosexuals here. He's talking about abusers, same thing, abusers of themselves, of mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. He mentions all these things, and he tells us some of you were the same way, but you're washed by the blood of Christ. You've been cleaned. You've been sanctified. You've been made ready to be a child of God. The next one is saves, personal. Saves, it saves. I'm sorry, I'm skipping a line. It's saves is 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Is that the right verse? Yeah. So wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So when we do evil, we're bound to sin. We're made a slave to sin is another way of putting it we see in the scripture. But by the word of God, there is no slavery to sin. If we're saved, there is no slavery to sin. We're free from that, and we're now bound to Christ. The next one is and glorifies. Romans 8:30, and we read it already, but let's look at it again. Romans 8:30. It's pertaining to glorifies. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, he saves us, he calls us, he saves us. In other words, he justifies us. It says he also glorified. Them he also glorified. We're glorified in the Lord because of him and for his purpose. Not of our own doings. We can't do that ourselves. There's nothing we can do, and we shouldn't even be bringing glory to ourselves. But the fact that the Lord has saved us, and that now we are his, and we follow his commandments, should show everyone else his glory through us. The next one is sinners is eternal and personal. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sinners is eternal and personal, is what our declaration says about this verse. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always. Now, Paul had good things to say about the church in Thessalonica. And he says here that he gives thanks always for them. Thanks to God for them. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It's because God has saved them and because they have stuck to the truth, because of their belief in the truth. The next one is unconditional. Romans 9, verse 11. Romans 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now remember, we talked about his calling earlier. But it says here, for the children being not yet born. We're called before we're born. Now, in other places it tells us we're called, he chose us before the foundation of the earth. Here, he says, being not yet born, children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. In other words, you know, remember, we're conceived in wickedness, is what he tells us. So this is before we're even conceived, because we have not had any opportunity at all to do good or evil. So this is before our conception. Neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. God's purpose according to election. It's not of works. See here, he says, it's not of works, but of him that calleth. It's not of any works that we do. It's not how good or how bad we are. It's God's purpose. Remember, our topic is God's purpose of grace. It's his purpose. The purpose of his grace is election, is choosing of us. And it's to show God's glory. Remember, we don't get any glory out of this. He does. back in our declaration, it says that it is the most glorious display of his sovereign goodness, being infinitely wise, holy, and unchangeable. Ephesians 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And this is pertaining to the most glorious display of his sovereign goodness, being infinitely wise, holy, and unchangeable. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful of Jesus Christ, or of Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, there's what we were talking about. We're called, we're chosen before the foundation of the world. Having predestinated us, there's that word predestinated again, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, not our free will, but his pleasure, the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. There we see again, it's his will, not ours. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So it's all because of his will. In our declaration, next it says that it comprehends all the means in connection with the end. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. We just read 13, but we'll read 13 and 14 both together now. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the end of it is we're called, he says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that obtaining of the glory of Christ is the end of all things. It's the end of our spiritual things. It's the end of our calling, our salvation. We are called, and it's to obtain the glory of Christ. Next it says that, our declaration says that it utterly excludes boasting, promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, and the active imitation of His free mercy. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. There's nothing for us to boast about in our salvation. It's all according to Christ. It's all because of Him. It's all His will. And it's all because He chose us before the foundations of the world. And He says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It's His love for us. In our declaration, next it says that it is perfectly consistent with the free agency of man. Revelation 22, verse 17. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So, it is He says, and whosoever will. Now, there's a controversy there. People will try to say that this is man's free will. This is an example of man's free will. But we know from other scriptures we've read that it's only by the will of God. But when He comes to us, when He calls us, and the Holy Spirit comes to us and convicts us, and He saves us, He makes it our will. He makes us have the want to, the desire. He says, let Him take the water of life freely. It comes freely after we received Him as our Savior, our Lord and Savior. Not before. It says here, the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. If we're not His, we're not going to hear Him. Number one. If we're not His, we're not going to thirst after Him. And whosoever will, we're not going to have the will or the want to without being His. That's the only way it works. This whosoever will is not before the person is saved, it's after. Back in our declaration, it says that it is to be ascertained by its effects in all who believe, in who truly believe the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 4 through 10. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How can we know our election of God? Well, if we're saved and we're sure of our salvation, we know we were elected. If we weren't saved, we wouldn't... If we're not His elect, we're not going to be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that just because we're not saved, a person's not saved right at this moment doesn't mean they're not his elect. We don't know that. We don't know who his elect are. But if we know for sure, if we're certain of our salvation, we know for a fact that he elected us. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. That power is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Without that, we don't have it. We don't have the gospel. Verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So, this church in Thessalonica, Paul has some pretty good things to say about them. For one, they were examples to all of those who believed, not only in their country, but the country next to them. This is Macedonia and Achaia, or what used to be, what's Greece now, but back would have been the central part of the Greek Empire, before the Roman Empire. They were very steeped in paganism, and Paul mentions that here. And if you go back and read in the book of Acts where he went to those places, he speaks of it again, a lot of what they were into. He says that how he mentions here in verse 9 how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. In other words, they left their false gods and turned to God after they heard the gospel preached from Paul. And then, once they were saved, they became examples to others. Our declaration on this pertaining to this verse says that it is to be ascertained by its effects in all who truly believe the gospel. So those who truly believe the gospel are going to, they're going to have a desire. They're going to want to get out and tell what the Lord's done for them. Isn't that how we are? Isn't that how, at least how we should be? That's why we, here he talks about, in verse 8, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. In other words, it was all over the known world. And we know, we've got Paul's written, what he wrote, his letters that he wrote about these churches and about this one in Thessalonica. He tells of their example here. And so we've got it from now on. And so, unknown to them, I'm sure in their day, they had no idea. They had no idea that what Paul was writing to them would be part of God's word, part of God's the Bible that we would use. They had no idea that their example would be read and taught from that day, I guess, until all eternity. We're still going to have God's word in eternity, but if it's they Paul's showing them here. Your example is spread around the known world at that time. I think we can think of King's Edition and others. There are other churches we know of that we fellowship with that have sent missionaries all over the world. We're on sermon audio now, and so I'm sure once we get the report for this month, we're probably going to see some different countries that people have been listening to the sermons. We'll see how we'll print that report off when we get it and let everyone see it. Reports that I've seen from other churches, it's amazing at how, and sometimes it's countries you never thought about, you know, places that you just never thought about would be where people would be listening. It may be, we don't know, it could be a missionary that's over there, maybe he's listening, or it could be somebody in the military. You know, we don't know. Whoever has internet access can reach that. So we'll see the response. I'm really curious to see, because we've had a lot of hits so far, and I'm curious to see where a lot of those are coming from. In our declaration, it says that to a certain, it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves utmost diligence. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. And this is our last scripture. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our diligence. We must give diligence to make, he says, to make your calling and election sure. This is not speaking of man's free will. This is talking about us following the commandments of Christ. This is us staying in prayer and in communion with our Lord, with our Heavenly Father, and knowing that we are His elect, knowing how precious that is. He says, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. He's not talking about falling into sin here. He's talking about falling. We'll never lose our salvation. We'll never have doubts of our salvation, I should say. We're sinful men. There's going to be times we're going to have problems. Our sin is, our flesh is going to give us problems the whole time we're here. But if we can stay close to the Lord, if we can be diligent about these things, He'll guide us in the right directions and keep us from places we shouldn't be, as far as the flesh is concerned. It says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our hope, is that through our salvation, our election and our salvation, that we will enter into His kingdom. We will enter into eternity, His everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. as one of his churches, our hope is that as part of that kingdom, that we'll be honored to be part of his bride. We've talked much about the bride recently, and we'll continue some more in our next service, but that's another level as far as the kingdom is concerned. That's another level of love from the Savior, his love for his bride. Now, next week we'll look at number 12, which is Christ and his, that's next week, I guess Sunday night. Sunday night we'll look at Christ and his mediatorial work. There's going to be, probably going to be too much to do two next week. So, anyway, we'll look at this some more next time.